It's Sunday, September the 7th, 2008. You're listening to the Stories of Faith podcast from First Presbyterian Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. Crouch, Director of High School Student Ministries at First Presbyterian Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, was recorded on Sunday, September 7th, 2008. Stories of Faith is a digital storytelling project at First Presbyterian Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, started by our youth deacons. Project volunteers record audio interviews with church members and others who want to share stories about their own journey of faith, their walk with God, significant events in their life in which they were acutely aware of God's presence, and other stories which reflect and reveal God's active presence in our lives today. Learn more on our church website at fpcedmond.org.
My name is, for the record, William Garrett Crouch, Jr., but I go by Bill.
Tell us a little bit about your family and where you grew up.
I am the youngest of five. I have four older sisters. The oldest is 12 years older, and it goes 9, 7, and 5. My father was in the military, Army, so he traveled quite a bit. I was born in Africa.
Really?
Born in Africa.
Where in Africa?
Asmara, Eritrea, Ethiopia. I think they just called Ethiopia now.
Was your dad stationed there? Really? Was he with the embassy, or what? How did
he was with the at that time there was U.S. occupancy there.
Wow.
It was a base.
Now that is that on the Horn of Africa, like Eastern Africa?
It's Ethiopia.
It is Ethiopia.
Yeah. It's in Ethiopia, so I don't really know exactly where. In fact, I don't think Eritrea is even there anymore.
Right. The names have changed.
Yeah.
So how long did you live in Africa?
I think I was there till I was two.
And then you came stateside after that?
Then we went to South Carolina, then to Korea, then Texas, Kentucky, Hawaii, Oklahoma.
Wow. How was that growing up, living in so many different places?
You know, since I had so many sisters, although when we moved to Korea, one of them was already so old she was in college, so she didn't go with us. But everywhere we went, there was a big family. So that was cool. And with the military, the bases and the schools and things you have, it's kind of family-oriented. So, I played a lot of sports, so I connected with other kids pretty fast. By the time I was in the seventh grade, I'd been to six schools. So I bounced around quite a bit.
And then, where did you finish high school, and when did you move to your high school?
When I was in the eighth grade, we left Hawaii and came to Oklahoma.
Was that culture shock?
Yes. In fact, I can remember leaving Hawaii, and it was just trying to figure out where Oklahoma was, because in the eighth grade, you don't really have a large grasp, even though you have, you know, geography and stuff. So I knew where on the map Oklahoma was, but Indians, horses,
yeah,
cowboys, all that was in my head when I moved here. So it was
you started eighth grade here?
Eighth grade in Lawton, Lawton Eisenhower.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, who or what would you say has been most influential in your walk with God?
I would have to say my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long have you been married?
We've been married 6 years. We dated for 3, and then we were engaged for a year, so we've known each other for about 10 years now.
Why would you say she's most influential?
Well, I know this question's on there, but I'll go ahead and answer it.
You can jump around however you want.
Growing up, we didn't go to church. My parents were really awesome parents, you know, family-oriented, but we did not go to church. I mean, I can kind of, in the back of my mind, remember going once. I mean, just, and I don't even really know if that's true. I just think I can remember it. I don't think I've ever stepped foot in a church with my father. And so we didn't have that growing up. There was no talk about Christianity, about God, about any of that. And I had some friends in high school that I think there were FCA kind of kids, and I did some FCA stuff, but I went to church once in high school, and it was a Baptist church, and all I remember, we had all these kids playing volleyball, and it was fun, then we went inside, and we get inside, and the guy's talking about how God is going to burn your barley fields, and I was like, I'm out, I got nothing to do with this place. So I didn't
barley, barley field. So
that yeah, was, yeah, that was. I was like, I don't even have barley fields. He's gonna burn them, you know. So I didn't really have any spiritual guidance, and Molly really wasn't so much like she like preached to me or read the Bible to me, but she made me want to go to church, or she kind of accepted Christ in college before I knew her, and but that never really, I mean. I still have that experience, and I can, you know, get goosebumps when I talk about it and all that, but it never really gelled until I met her, and she really made me want to become a better person, and it just, I just feel like she, you know, had God not put her in my life, I would not be the man that I am today.
Wow. How did you all meet? You don't have to include this in the recording.
It's perfectly fine. I had a job at a sports bar, and it was in the afternoon, and a buddy of mine that I played baseball with in college, he came in with Molly, and she, you know, we're like, hey, what's up? We hadn't seen each other in several years. And she went to the restroom, and I was like, "Dude, are you dating her? What's the skinny with this?" And he's like, "Nah, man, we're just friends." So I was like, "Really?" and that's kind of how it all. And then we saw each other a few other times, and I never really made the move. I guess I was dating a girl at the time, so I really wasn't kind of in the position to do that. But one of Molly's girlfriends, fortunately, called me one night while I was at work, and she said, why haven't you called Molly, and blah blah blah.
Nudge.
Yeah, and then the next day on Sunday, as a matter of fact, we went and had brunch at a little place on Broadway Extension. There used to be an Italian there. What was it? I can't think of the name now. It's not there anymore.
Portobello's?
Yeah, I think it was Portobello's. Yeah. We had brunch and
play.
And it worked out. It worked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, when you were growing up, can you think of a time when you felt like you were distant from God, or I guess in your whole life too? Maybe you didn't become as aware of those kind of spiritual things until later.
Yeah, you know, I mean, growing up, I really never. I mean, God wasn't on my radar. I mean, it was all about sports, you know, and that kind of stuff, and. So I, you know, he was never on my radar, to be honest. In college, not really there either. So I never really knew that I was distant from him. I mean, and then after that, you know, once I kind of started going that route, you know, sometimes I feel distance, but I don't know. There's not any like specific time frame that I can think about that I really felt. Far apart.
So how have you become aware of God, and how? I mean, you're working in full time ministry now. I mean,
yeah.
You do many things, right? You have
other
activities, and you do videography and other kinds of things. But I mean, you've had a huge life change to be called to ministry.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, that's you know, that's really when I guess I felt the closest to God. And really felt the power of God, and really felt like He really existed. I mean, because a lot, even while Molly and I were first dating, you know, I was going to church and getting to know Christ a little bit better, but never really had any kind of experience that really connected me with God. It really was like just like the Paul experience, or the Saul experience today. Molly was pregnant with Garrett, who is our oldest child, and she was about 8 months pregnant. And I was working for a company in the corporate world as a a project manager, and I was traveling all over the country. Basically, it was a startup company, but we covered the whole U.S. And so we did a lot. And I was at a trade show in Kentucky. And Molly and I, and Molly was at home, and she called me on the phone in the middle of the day and told me that a guy had just knocked on the door, and she saw him through the window. And so she's a pretty smart girl. She's redhead. Anyway, and just feisty when I say redhead. I mean, and so she had walked out of the back door and came around the side, and our house is on Rankin and 7th Street, so it's a pretty busy road. And so she was in the yard and it was the middle of the day. If anything was going to happen, she was going to be outside, and there would be some traffic. And this guy was like, "Hey, can I use your phone?" And she's like, "Nah, man, you're not using the phone. You need to go ahead and leave." And then, you know, he started to go across the street to somebody else's house, and she said, "No, you can go down the street to 7-Eleven. Just go on, you know." And she went back in the house and she watched the guy, and he got into his car, and instead of pulling forward like he should have, he backed all the way down the street so she couldn't see his car. So she called the police, and the police were there in minutes because there was an M.O., this guy, the same M.O., had attempted rape two or three other people in just a short amount of time. And I was in Kentucky, and I was just like, "What in the hell am I doing here?"
Did she call you?
Yeah, she called me right after that, and I was like, I packed up, and I had been training for a marathon during this whole time, and I had started reading Purpose Driven Life, so all this was during the same time frame. And so that whole trip back, I'm just praying, "God, you know, if you, this is where you want me, you know, I'm going to stay, but I need to know." You know, I'm just this same kind of prayer over and over and over. And this company that I was working for, it was a startup, and I had been given I was getting paid pretty good, but I'd been promised a lot, you know. And if it hit, you know, it was in the water industry, so it's like if it hit, it's a lot of opportunity. So I was like, man, you know. And at one point, though, I was like, for 3 months, not getting paid at all. I mean, that's how it is with a startup. And through that time, just, you know, just praying and praying and praying. And so I had developed this prayer with God that I didn't expect any kind of answers, to be honest with you. But that particular event brings me home, and I just am praying even harder now. Because I'm like, you know what? My child is at stake. My wife is at stake. I don't know. You know, God, is this really where I need to be? So we go a couple of weeks after that. So we're probably 3 weeks out of having this baby. And, man, just, I don't even know what happened. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit is the only way I can describe it. I'm at work, and I basically said, I'm done. They wanted me to go to Pennsylvania for like 3 weeks for a really, really big job. And I was like, you know what? I can't, man. I can't continue to work for you guys and not be at full capacity. So I'm going to resign once we have the baby. And we were good friends with the owner, and I mean, we still are good friends. And but I said, you know, I got to quit, man. And so Molly was working as a teacher about a half a mile away, and I called her and said, "Babe, let's go have lunch today," because our office was pretty close. And we roll into KFC, and here she is, you know, full term, man. And I'm like,
a little bit, yeah. In a moment of stress already.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I just quit my job. And we're both, so we both start crying at the Colonel. yeah. And she's like, "Well, you know, what are we going to do?" And, I've had a lot of jobs in my life, and very entrepreneurial, just you know, since I was growing up. And I was like, "Babe, you know, we'll be all right." But I really didn't say, like, God's going to provide for us. I didn't really have that kind of feeling just at that moment. And we get home. I had been working at the church kind of part-time just on Wednesday nights. And we get home that night, and the presbyter, you know, it was a bi-weekly bulletin that came out for the church, And in that week, and I had been at the church for about 3 months or so, and they had never even mentioned anything about anything. And then I get the presbytery, and in the presbytery it says, we're looking for a full-time person to do, you know, high school and middle school for the summer only. And that was it, man. And I was like, oh my God.
And you'd already opened the door at KFC. So
yeah. I mean, and it was just like, you know, at that moment, then I really was like, wow, God. I mean, it was, you know, there was just no other explanation than, man, had I not quit that day, you know, I would have went home and probably would have not even paid any attention to that thing, you know.
Your eyes were opened at that
point. Yeah, I mean, completely open.
You were looking for where God was.
Yeah, yeah. And the weird thing is if you ask David Leard about that, who is the pastor in charge of student ministries, even working for him, he never really anticipated that I could have been in the position to take that job. And when I said I was available and I gave him my resume and everything, he was like, you know, this is awesome. But he wouldn't even have said anything. So it's just like, man.
Wow. Well, so tell me, just a couple more questions,
sure,
if you're willing. What is it like being in youth ministry, and how do you see God acting in your life today and in the lives of the kids that you're working with?
Being in youth ministry, I just feel like all of the things that I have done in my life prior to this have really just prepared me for it. You know, and you hear that from people sometimes, and I mean, I just know that. I don't feel it. I know that God has prepared me for it, and I love it. You know, it's such a blessing every day to be able to know that I'm working for God. That's my life. That's what I do. Whatever it is, you know, that's what I do. I mean, I don't work for the church. I'm working for God. And I just happen to get paid because the church needs somebody to do it. And so my whole life is that way. I mean, hanging out with kids and just getting to know them and, you know, being relational with them and being able to try to be transparent so that they can say, wow, God really does exist. And I can see it in that person.
Are kids struggling today?
I mean, kids are struggling all the time with it, man, because they just sometimes they don't have that moment with God that it really sometimes
the burning bush moment.
Yeah, but you know, kids are kids, man. I mean, they're not struggling like, and the kids that I deal with don't struggle other ways as much as, man. You know, this, I don't know, man. A lot of them grow up in the church, and so I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of struggle, but I mean, I can tell that there is some there. You know, it's hard. I mean, because kids don't really talk to you the way that, unless, you know, they're broken. So, yeah.
So relational ministry, you're saying, I'm hearing you say,
yeah,
is what you really see as one of the most important things we can do as a church for youth, is providing, yeah, opportunities for those relationships.
I think just for adults that love kids, because if you're not called to love kids, I mean, I guess they love kids, but if you're not built by God to be able to hang out with kids and just hang out with them and not really care about what's going on and just laughing and just doing that kind of stuff, it doesn't really work. It's hard. But if your gift is relational with kids, then that, yes, they need that. They really need that.
It makes me think of something I've heard before. Like, there's this, and I think it's a myth. Maybe it had to do a lot with the women's movement, where we were saying, well, we can all work all the time. We can be so busy. And we'll just schedule this quality time, you know, and that right here at this moment, this will be our quality time. I mean, my understanding has been we need to spend a large amount of time together in order to have quality time. I mean, I've seen that with my own kids, too. I mean, that. So, I mean, you're probably, the chances of you having some moments to visit with folks about some important things, some serious things, those are going to come because of the quantity of time you're spending with them. Would you say, does that sound?
Yeah, it comes when it comes. I mean, you can't plan for that, obviously.
Without saying any names, can you give any examples of where, you know, you've had kind of the Holy Spirit has been moving in terms of the ministry or the relationships that you've had with kids? Again, not
sure
telling enough details that we're going to, you know, just break
right,
confidence
right.
or anything.
Well, I just know by some of the relationships that I've formed with some of the kids. You know, there's a lot of kids, and I mean, Jesus worked with 12. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so it's hard. I mean, you know, a lot of kids on the surface, you don't really get deep with a lot of them, but I do have several that I have, you know, and been there for them during life struggles, deaths in the family or whatever, you know, just whatever it may be. And over, it just takes time, but yeah, for sure. God has put me in a spot a few times that I feel like, you know, wow. This, I mean, you know, when the door is open, you're just like, okay, here we go.
Here I am, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, last question. Is there anything that, for those people who might be listening to this, that you really hope that they would either know, you know, personally about things that you've come to realize in your walk with God, or maybe something about the ministry? And the need, you've already said a little bit about how we need to be spending time with our youth, and what, any kind of closing that you want to leave people with?
You know, I guess if you have a relationship with God, the one thing that I really feel God puts on my heart is that trying to make kids understand that they have a purpose. I mean, that God has created you for some reason. And it's really your responsibility to figure out what that reason is. And that goes for adults as well. Just saying you're a Christian or reading the Bible and doing that kind of stuff, that's not really enough. You got to get in the game. You got to know what it is you're supposed to be doing. And if you don't know what your gifts are, if you don't know what your passions are, you need to know, and you need to find out what they are. So when it comes to your life, you know, you're not cutting yourself short, because if you cut yourself short, man, you're going to end up doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason, and somebody's going to miss out, and you're going to miss out, and you'll never have that burning bush moment, because you're not doing what God's really wanting you to do.
Included in this podcast is from the PodSafe Music Network, which you can find online at music.podshow.com.